Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Hallelujah. It's good to see everyone here tonight. Amen. You know, in life, now we all know this, but in life, the walk of life, either we are going to agree with the problem or we're going to agree with the Word of God. In other words, you will have a choice. God gives you that choice to make. Hallelujah. There is no such thing as being neutral. Well, Pastor, I'm just going to stay low-key about this. Just let things go. Well, just be like your garden. It's going to be let go. It's going to have all kinds of stuff in it. Stuff you don't want. Chokes out your harvest, everything else. But there is no neutral ground. There is nothing. There is no neutral. You will have to decide when you come up against an issue, a problem, am I going to keep my focus on that? Am I going to agree with that and just allow that to happen? Or am I going to say what the Word says and change the circumstance? You know, the Lord told Israel, He said this, I set before you this day. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now, I like this part because He gives them the answer. I wish I had a teacher in high school that would give me the answers. I had a tough time on multiple choice. Forget about the essay. Even the true and false. I think I could do pretty good on this. No, I'm still good. He just said, I'm going to give you the answer. Amen. Here it is. Choose life. Yes. Amen. I could do that. Amen. But we'll have to make the choice because God's not going to do it for you. That's right. In other words, faith really is your free will. You choose. You choose what road you're going to go on. You choose what path you're going. It's all you. Yeah, but I think God has more to do with it. Well, He's got the finished work for you, but you're going to have to choose to go that direction. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Hallelujah. Second Corinthians, verse 1. We're talking about choosing life. That'd be a good title. Choosing life. Because basically it's what it comes down to. We make decisions. It's like Pastor Mark's been talking about. It's a lifestyle. It's not like I got up this morning and you know what? I want to decide to live by faith today. Today, I'm going to, well, obviously we want to choose life, but it's a lifestyle. Faith is the right, it's what we do, we live it, we practice it on a daily basis. Verse 1, it says, get my glasses out here, thank you. This will be the third time I am coming to you. By the mouth. Of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Now, notice, by the mouth. You have to remember who you are. You are created in Christ Jesus. You are a spitting image of the Father, spirit-wise. You're designed to operate out of your spirit man. And the spirit man, the spirit of faith, loves to talk. He's created to do that. Faith has to be released. The main way faith is released is by the mouth. There's a lot of ways for faith to be released, but I'm just talking about the main way is the mouth. Cool. So let's just say we already have two witnesses established here. This side we have the problem that you're facing, whatever that may be, right? An issue that you come up against. A lot of times these problems just come up. Okay, we'll call it a bad report. On this side, we have the good report, the Word of God, the promises of God. Now, you're right in the middle. Right in the middle. And it's going to be by your mouth, or I'm going to say, by the mouth, you will choose which direction you will go. If your mouth is speaking the problem, that is the direction you will go. And God has very little to do with this, because He's left it all up to you to choose. It's pretty simple, but yet, listen, not only the big things. Now, see, I'm talking about big things, but also in the little things. He's left you the ability to choose. We looked at a lawnmower the other day, and Joanne wanted a lawnmower. We went to look this lawnmower, and it's nice. It's really nice. It had all the had some bells and whistles on it. Anyway, I looked at it and took it for a drive. Basically, that's what it was. I took it for a drive. Anyway, I could give more details on that. That's not necessary. But I told the guy, I really like this. I like it. But I said this to him. I said, we never make decisions on the same day. We never do that. Because it's hard to make decisions on stuff like that when Joanne's drooling. Right. So in other words, you got to step away from that. So I said, okay, we're not going to make a decision on that, but I'll let you know as soon as possible. So we took off and we got in the truck, and I told Joanne, I really like that truck. Or I really like, it basically looked like a truck, but I really like that mower. As far as I'm concerned, Troy, that was my mower. I'm going to get that mower. But see, sometimes it's hard to tell from the soul and the heart. And the only way for me to do it, I have to get away from that noise. Because my mind is going like this. My emotions are up. Let's load it up. So I have to get away from that and get still. Just a stillness. And it wasn't long. I had it really, wasn't a strong inkling, but it was an inkling. No. But I did not lose hope. I said, maybe not. Maybe I'm just, I got to divide this a little bit more. So I woke up the next day, and it was sure enough. I told Joy, this is not it. We can't do it. Now, you may say, well, that is, what's the point in that? What is the significance of that? I could have chose that lawnmower. But instead, I followed the peace that's in me. Instead of choosing something that I wanted, my soul wanted, but here it said, no, that's the peace of God. Paul talked about that. Let the peace of God. I think it's how it is. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. or guide you. Let it be an umpire of your heart. And I thought, man, I wanted that. I really wanted it. But I also know never to violate the peace that's in my heart. It's precious to me. The Bible says guard the heart. See, you know, we want to talk about seed time and harvest. We want to talk about the harvest. Well, the Bible also says protect the heart. Guard it with all diligence. Man, I guard peace. It's in my heart. I guard it. Actually, one translation, if I recall this, it says let the peace of God answer all your questions. Where's that coming from? From the heart. So there again, Pastor Chuck, what's the big deal? If I don't master that level of something of a lawnmower, if I can't be a good manager over that little thing, well, it's a big thing, actually. This is a kind of a pricey thing, too. I don't know all the details why he wouldn't let me buy it. It could be that after I get it home and after about 4 or 5 hours, it would blow up because it's used. I don't know what the guy did to it, how he treated it. There's all kinds of scenarios, but he didn't tell me no details. I just going by peace, that inner witness that Paul talked about in Romans. I was just going by a witness of that peace on the inside of me. So the point is, if I don't master it, if I don't master that and be obedient to that peace take time to find out what God's direction is, if I don't master that, how am I going to go up to the next level? Because I'm a manager of everything that flows into my household. My wife and I, well, she runs the books, I probably will say. But I act like I'm the guy. But if we don't master this level, then how is God going to take me, if I can't handle this, how is He going to bring me up to this level if I'm not taking the time to seek His will, if I'm not obedient to the witness of the Holy Spirit? Because if I mess up on this level, everybody's going to notice it. It's going to create issues. So I have to be trained on a lower level. So I have to get this lower level right. In other words, I have to practice this on a daily basis. It just don't, you know, what makes the difference? Just go buy it. I know better. Because I want to move on in the kingdom. I want the kingdom, not just from myself, I want the kingdom to advance. If you could imagine if the whole body of Christ would be sensitive to the inward spirit, to live it, to practice it, to incorporate it in our lives, the difference it would make in everyone's lives. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying we don't miss it, but it would eliminate a lot of issues. Because listen to me, if someone worked in a company and they lost $6,000 and they just, you know, let's just say I'm working for a company and I lost $6,000 for the company. Well, okay. My boss isn't going to be too happy about that. Right? And let's just say another job opening came up. And I go to my boss and I say, hey, boss, how about that job opening? I kind of like to have that job. He's going to look at me and say, why not you do your job here? You want the director's job? You're not even doing this job. You're not even managing the money, the company's money here. You're making wrong decisions. Your attitude is you don't care. That's kind of like the government. They don't care. They just throw money at something. And that's what a lot of Christians do. We just throw money at stuff instead of finding out what God wants. Because, you know, if I wouldn't have taken the time, I would have threw money at this more. I would have took it. I'll be honest with you, I would have took it. But see, in a natural world, that don't work. Because any boss ain't going to promote you to another level because you ain't mastered this one. You're making a mess. More than likely, he'd give me another job. It'd be in the basement mopping. Then he'll say, master that job. But it's about choices. Well, you mean just by the words of my mouth? Yeah. Because once we found out that it wasn't God's will, I called the guy up, said, or I texted him, I said, we've decided not to take the mower. So the decision was the final result was coming out of my mouth. I can't do that. Now, that's leading me into God's divine direction for my life. You may think that's small, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does. It all matters. Even a person with a passion for God, even a person with zeal, has to watch he's making the right decisions. Because you look at the life of David, a man after God's own heart, but yet and willing to do God's will. God himself said that, but yet he made some mistakes. Bad decisions. Now, if David could do it, listen, a guy who's after God's own heart, we have to watch what choices we make and make sure we're not disturbing or going against the peace, the witness on the inside of us. Don't violate that peace. As long as you don't violate that peace, hey, the light is green, as Kenneth Hagin used to say. Go. If God ain't saying anything, if you don't hear anything, don't do anything. That's just as easy as a green light. See, David, just because of some wrong decisions, they multiplied. They kept going and going and going. And it cost him big time. He didn't have to go through all that. And since that's what I'm saying, make the right decisions. Follow the peace of God on the inside of you. You can eliminate a lot of problems, a lot of issues. Now, I don't want to get too far off the subject, but as we walk in life, we're always going to have issues on this side. And just think of as God, His words on this side. We have to make the right choice. When we choose life, we choose His word, that's the blessing. I want to be on the blessing road. Amen. So when you make your choices, they are taking you. Your words are taking you to a destination. Either it's going to be a destination of life, or it's going to be a destination of, it could be death. Because you keep going down that road, where else is it going to go? Right? Amen. Let's look at this. Look at Numbers. This is classic. Numbers 13. We all know this. We're going to go over this. Making right choices. And it is a big deal. Even those little issues are big. Because if we don't practice that, and I'm not saying you have decisions every day, but I'm talking about continually practice that. When a big one comes, you'll know exactly what to do. When there's a major, major decision you have to make, you're going to say, you know what? I know how to handle this. I'll just follow the witness of the Holy Spirit. I've done this many times. It works. And that is so true. It has worked for us time and time again. So if we ever had a big decision come up, I know exactly what to do. And it works every time. God has never failed us. There's times when I wanted to pull the trigger. Many times I want to pull the trigger. I couldn't do it. I do not violate that peace on the inside of me. Don't ever do it, saints. You can eliminate a lot of problems. Anyway, let's get back to the message, the main message. Now look at this. Now we know this. They sent out 10 spies, and the 10 spies came back with the bad report. And a bad report always, how can I say this? Let me say this. I'm thinking of Leon Powell. Leon Powell, he called He called the 10 spies in verse 13 or 31. Let's just go ahead and read this. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel bad report of the land which they had spied out. Now there you go. Leon Powell, I think, called it the church of we be not. That was their report. Can't do it. So they came up, when they spied out the land, they came up against some issues called giants. They came up against some, basically we'll just say giants, circumstances. And they said, and they chose, by their words, they chose to go in agreement with what they were seeing and what they, all by senses, right? That's easy to do. But Joshua and Caleb saw the same thing, same circumstances, and they kept focus on the Word of God. Those giants were nothing to them. Look at what they said. I'm telling you, your words will take you. They'll take you to your destination. They'll take you. Listen. Well, we'll talk about that later. I don't want to jump too far ahead. Verse 30, it says, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." That's the church of the well ables. Overcomers. Well, so just by the words of their mouth, you can see right here. I mean, one side is saying we can't do it because they're so focused on what the enemy is doing. They're so focused on the giants. And you got the same people looking at the same thing. A totally another report. We are well able to do it. Why? Because God's with us. You see the contrast here of one group and this other group. I mean, they look at this. Look at, I think it's in the next chapter, chapter 14, verse 28. It says, "And the Lord said this, 'Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you.'" That's strong. Well, God doesn't hear everything I say. He's God. Oh, I said it in a secret. In secret, he didn't hear that. He heard it. Now, there's a lot of times we don't pray in faith. Obviously, you're not going to have an audience with him. I mean, come on. But he knows what you're saying in secret. He knows. God's not going to be mocked. The Bible says you reap what you sow. Words are seeds. Well, who got into the promised land? Joshua and Caleb. Is their land. All they had to do is go and possess it. That's it. It is the same thing for us. We have an inheritance. But you're not going to tap in on the inheritance speaking what the enemy's saying. We're not going to tap in what God has if we're over here in the enemy's camp. In agreement with what he's saying. Well, Pastor Chuck, nothing's working out for my life. I don't understand it. Well, what are you saying? What are you agreeing with? Because you've established something. If nothing's working for you, it's one thing going to trial, but after about 20 or 30 years, I mean, you ought to be coming out of there somehow. I mean, so you may want to check up on what you've been talking about. Could it be? I mean, my words are that powerful? Are they? Oh, yeah. It's the language of faith. And I'm going to That's another series. It is a part of the language of faith, your words. It's expression, what's on the inside of you. What's in abundance? Matthew 12, 34, I think, 36. What's in abundance comes out, what's in abundance in the heart comes out the mouth. If you deposit a law of the word in you, and I'm not just talking about just memorizing, I'm talking about in meditation. Meditating upon the word. You're going to Joshua chapter 8, and all the emphasis is on you. You do this, you do you. And you go to John 15 and about the, he talks about the vine and on down, it talks about you. In other places, especially in the Gospel of John, I mean, the emphasis, saints, is on what we're choosing to do. It's our walk of life. What path are we on? If it's a path, I mean, if we're speaking God's word, guess what? We're heading to our chosen destiny. So yeah, even in the little things matter. Because the little things, eventually, you'll step on up. God is saying, okay, you're a good manager here. You waited on me. You did. Now you chose right. Up this one, up. See, it's all about the advancement of the kingdom. Amen. You know, you think about Abraham at 99. You want to talk about looking at some circumstances. At 99, I mean, it's been close to 25 years. You're saying you thought you had to wait a long time. 25 years, he's 99. And then the Lord shows up and kind of gets him stirred up again. Kind of, he's speaking to him again. And Abraham, he said, look, I'm 99. Here's Ishmael. Ishmael, come here. Come here, boy. Come here. Just take Ishmael. But yet, he decides, he chooses what God says. It took a while, and it takes a while for us too. He chose to say what God said. Other words, he got to the point where, okay, I agree. Well, how do you know he agreed? Because he started to say Abraham. Until he started to say that with his mouth, until he chose to say those words, nothing was happening. You get that? Until Abraham, the father of faith, decided to get in agreement with God. Until that point, nothing happened. The only thing happened was an Ishmael. The promised son was not there yet because there wasn't a total agreement yet. So God's helping him out. Abraham, I'm changing your name. I want you to call yourself Abraham now. Now, was that overnight? Listen, I would say, turn with me to Romans chapter 4. Let's look at that. I would say the first time Abraham, Romans 4, the very first time Abram used the word Abraham, I just see Abraham kind of looking around. Did anyone hear that? You know, he's 99 years old, and he's calling himself the father of a multitude or a father of many nations. That's the promise. I can just see Abraham looking around. Man, I really don't want that. Do I really want all these people to? I look so foolish. A lot of times, when you're speaking the word of God, it does look foolish, especially when the circumstances are stacked up against you. That word doesn't look all that big. You know, when you're looking at the mountain and you get this little seed, and you're looking at the seed, that seed compared to that mountain, Are you sure this is going to work? God said it will. Plant a seed. Plant a seed. So he starts planting a seed. Well, how do you do that? Speaking it. What did God say? You say what God says. You speak it. You plant it. You keep saying it. Now, Romans 4, I'm going to close. I'm not going to go much longer. Hallelujah. And everyone's smiling. I see that. Hallelujah. In verse 19, we'll skip Romans 4, 19, and not being weak in faith. Now, this is so important. He considered not his body. Now, just think about that. Whatever circumstance you're going against, Abraham got to this point, I'm not going to consider my body. I'm not going to go by this testimony of what my body is telling me. My body is telling me you're too old. My body is telling me it's over. My body is telling me you look stupid. What are the folk are going? What's the town folk going to say about you? They're going to lock you up. But he did not consider his own body already dead. Since he was about 100 years old and the deafness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced. I think the King James says fully persuaded. Other words, he was gaining steam. He was being strengthened. All this talks about gaining strength. Well, how was it? He wasn't fully persuaded. I guarantee, listen, how did he become fully persuaded? He kept speaking the word. He kept speaking, my name is Abraham, over and over until he was fully persuaded. It's not just because he said, well, my name's Abraham. Where's that? Well, I'd say what God said. You keep saying it and saying it and saying it. There's sometimes you get an instant manifestation. Not Real King in Boonville. That's Tractor Supply Store, what do they call it? TSC? Central Tractor? What are they? Anyway, I was kind of roaming around since Joanna wasn't around. I was a free man. Of course, they don't have popcorn there, but I was okay. But I was out there walking, I was looking at their utility trailers. And of course, the utility trailers had this point on it, or they come to for the hitch. And I was bebopping through there, and I slammed right into one. I mean, it hurt. Guys, don't cry. I thought about it. And I mean, I really did. I hit it hard. And then it kind of went numb, and then you kind of shake it off. That's what men do. And I got in my vehicle, and I head on north, going to North Boonville to the house. And I felt something on my pant leg. I'm thinking, what is that? And I went down there, and I felt it. I go, oh. Oh. You know, you've heard goose eggs. I could put my hand, it's like I could cut my hand on it. And I'm thinking, all kinds of thoughts went through my mind. This could do that. This could cause this. And I started to get a little anxious. And I thought, okay, I put my hand on it and I said, I'm still driving, I said, be healed in Jesus' name. And that thing went down. It's like is like having a hand on a balloon. And it's just like deflated. Now the point is, I thank God for instant healings. It don't happen to me that often. But when they happen, praise God. It's grace of God. But the point is, I chose to do that. I could have left it go. I chose to speak the word over it. And even if it did not go down, even if it didn't go down, I believe that I'm healed. Even if I did not have a manifestation. Why? Because I believe that I received. So what I'm saying is, I believe God. I believe His Word. That was a circumstance. Came up out of nowhere. I hit something. I did it. Caused that. God took care of it. But the point is, I believe God, His Word. I chose the healing path. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. She was sick for 12 years, but she chose by her words. She heard and she acted and she started to say and kept saying, the Bible says, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. So her words took her in a direction of wholeness. Her words took her in a direction of healing. Saints, it's all about making a decision. We make decisions. You'll make decisions tomorrow, the next day. Practice making the decisions that line up with God's Word. Now, this leg issue, maybe nothing would have happened. I don't know. I don't know. But why mess around with it? Why would I just be in my vehicle saying, yes, that's like baseball. It was. It's like it'd take care of itself. I don't know. I wasn't gonna take a chance. So what do? I speak over it. You start calling for healing. You start with your words of your mouth. We're designed to operate like that. Finances not coming in, I start, speak. What does the Word say about it? What you need healing? Well, I know what it looks like. I know, for instance, whatever the issue is, you need healing. Well, obviously, but what does the Word say? The Word's always a good report. It always has a good report. But until we get in agreement with that report, it stays just a report on the pages of the book. When Jesus was in the wilderness, when the enemy came to tempt him, what'd you say, devil? I'm just not going to pay any attention to it. Jesus had an answer for each one. He had an answer. It is written. He didn't keep silent. He went with the Word. Instead of just not doing nothing, instead of staying neutral, saints, you got to be saying something. Don't stay neutral. Jesus did not stay neutral in the wilderness. He has an example for you and me to start speaking to the circumstance. When the enemy is in your house, when he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy, you better stand up and start speaking what the Word says. And that, I'm not saying that you have an instant manifestation, but the Word is truth. It will work. It will manifest. Just keep your expectancy up. Amen. Well, hallelujah. I think I feel a good release to stop. Because there's examples upon examples on examples. I got more examples here. We can talk about Mary. We can talk about, Mary said, and I'm not going to go into too much detail, but Mary says, Be it, King James, I like how the King James says, be it unto me according to your word. She was just given a word that has never happened before. That was never happened again. That was unique. But the angel said, with God, all things are possible. And she took it. She took the seed, she took that word. Thank God. Thank God. I'm thinking of Paul. Paul on that ship. The angel. Man, you'd be surprised how many angels are involved in this. When we start speaking, angels are listening to your words. The Holy Spirit's listening to your words. Jesus, it says the apostle and high priest of our confession. He's listening to your words. Saints, we have an audience listening to our words. When we speak the word, we choose to go in His direction. The angels encamp about us. Woo! Now we can talk about success. If God is for you, who can be against you? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand up. Praise God. You know, if there's several things you can take home tonight, but I guess one thing that really stands out, and I really didn't get into it maybe like I should have, I didn't really know about till now, but man, when you're making a choice, when you're making a decision, make sure you have that witness. Learn to practice that still, get it along with God and just be still and just let Him minister to you about that choice that you're wanting to make, because that could cost you money. It could cost a number of things. But the big thing is you're practicing on hearing and getting accustomed to that witness on the inside of you. That way, when something big comes up, you can get by yourself with confidence because you've done that before. Amen. It's about practice. Amen. This walk of faith is about practicing, practicing, practicing. There's a lot of things, especially in the healing part, I had to go over and over and over, and there's still areas in my life I'm still working on. I'm still working on it. But God's very patient and long-suffering towards us. Father, we thank You. I thank You, Father God. I proclaimed Your good news. I did what You've given me to proclaim tonight. Father, I thank You. We're leaving this place, Father God. We are setting ourselves in agreement with Your Word. We are speaking Your Word only. We're not denying the problems, but Father, our focus is not on the problem, but it's on Your Word. We're focusing on Your Word and speaking Your Word. We choose to live that life. We choose to live the blessed life. We choose that life on a daily basis, and we practice that day after day after day. And Father, it is a joy serving You. Now, Father, I give You praise. I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone here tonight. I thank You. Your angels encamp about us. They go before us. And Father, we thank You for Your word. We give You the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.